Now, please take a seat and find a copy of the Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, which is on page 227. There'll be copies of the Bible underneath the seat that you're sitting on or the seat in front of you, and I'm not going to start reading until everyone who can read has got a Bible in front of them. So you might need to go around and find some more. There's a pile of four sitting in the windowsill at the back if you can't find one. And there will be some under spare chairs. There's some over there. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, reading from verse 1 on page 227 of the New Testament of the Bible. And it's underneath the heading of Christian Giving. Because that's what we're being asked to think about doing this morning. That's what the film was saying, that the man at the end was saying that we could support a market gardening program or a food distribution program or the employment of a health worker or something else that would enable these folks in Burkina Faso to fill that gap in their year, to change the season so that they no longer have a hungry season, but that there's something for them to eat all the year round. So we're going to read this passage together, and as we read it, we're going to be asking the question, why should we give? Why should we give to those folks? They're far away, they're on a different continent, they're not our brothers and sisters, they are different from us altogether. Why should we give to them? Now, Fraser put his hand up there to tell me the answer, and I suspect you probably do know, but what we're going to do is listen to what the Bible says, and then see whether you came up with the same answer as Paul came up with. And if you did, then you'll be even cleverer than I think you are already. Okay? Why should we give? Well, this is what the Word of God says. Paul says, "Our brothers and sisters, we want you to know what God's grace has accomplished in the churches in Macedonia." Now, Macedonia was the churches of Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, some of the other churches that you might have heard of from the book of Acts, a different bit of the country from Corinth, where this letter was being read. We want you to know what God's grace has accomplished in the churches in Macedonia. And God's grace simply means what God has made people able to receive. Sometimes we do things for ourselves, but sometimes there are things that we can't do, and God's grace does it for us. What has God given, or what has God made possible that would otherwise have been impossible in the churches in Macedonia? The answer is in verse 2, they have been severely tested by the troubles they went through, but their joy was so great that they were extremely generous in their giving, even though they are very poor. So they'd had severely testing times. They had a great poverty, they were very poor, and yet they'd been extremely generous in their giving. So that's the first reason Paul is going to give us. He's going to give us their example. He's saying to the folks in Corinth, other Christians in the churches in Macedonia have been very generous, and if they can do it, then you can do it too. And in the film that we were watching there, we saw folks in Burkina Faso, the organization called Credo, reaching out to help people who were starving. And the suggestion is that we should follow their example, because the fact is that the folk who are doing the helping in Burkina Faso are very much poorer than we are. And yet they are helping people who are very much poorer than they are. And if they can do that, then perhaps we should follow their example and do the same thing. One of the, you know what the credit crunch is, don't you? Interest rising, prices rising, stock markets falling, people having difficulty making ends meet. And one of the consequences of the credit crunch I saw on the paper the other day is that givings to charity have fallen, in some cases, by about 30%. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If folks are having to pay more for their bread and more for their food and more for their fuel and more for their heating, they've got less money left over at the end of the month to give to charity. That makes sense unless you're a Christian. Because you see, what this says is that these folks in Macedonia were extremely poor and had testing times. But their Christian response to less money and harder times is not to say, I'll need to keep more money to myself and cut back on my giving to others. Rather, their response was to say, going through a hard time myself really lets me see how difficult it must be for other folk. And so they tried harder, even though they had less to spend to begin with, they tried harder to give more of it away. So the Christian response to a credit crunch is to think of those who are being crunched harder than you are and what extra needs are arising for them. We need to follow their example. Paul goes on to say in verse 3, I can assure you that they gave as much as they could and even more than they could of their own free will. They begged us and pleaded for the privilege of having a part in helping God's people in Judea. And what had happened was that there had been a famine in Judea, so the churches there, the folks in the churches there, really were starving. The people in Macedonia also had less to eat because they were affected by the famine, but they recognized from their own hardship how difficult it was for others who were worse off, and so they supported them. It was more than they could have hoped for. First, they gave themselves to the Lord, that is, they became Christians, and then by God's will, they gave themselves to us as well. So that's them, that's the Macedonians. And having seen what they can do, Paul then says, now, so we urged Titus, who began this work, to continue it and help you complete this special service of love. So Titus is going to travel from Macedonia to Corinth and take up a collection, take up a harvest offering for the people in Judea. And then it says this, you are so rich in all you have, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in your eagerness to help, and in your love for us. And that's the second reason why we should give, or we should be able to give, because of our potential. There's a picture up on the screen of a bunch of folks with great potential. They're all members of the church, or they've been members of the church fairly recently, and they're at the top of some mountain or other. I can't quite remember which mountain it was. But the folk climbed to the top of the mountain, and because of the energy, the leg power and the muscle power and the stamina to climb mountains, they must also be able to do other things. Okay? What Paul is saying is that the folks in Corinth are already doing some Christian things. You are rich in faith. And in speech, you talk about Jesus all the time. You're rich in knowledge. You study the Bible and you're theologically well taught and have good understanding. In your eagerness to help, when folk come to your congregation, if they've got some problem, then it's quickly recognized and identified and somebody chips in and helps them out. And in your love for us, Paul says, I know that you are good Christians because of the ways that you show your love to me. And therefore we have the potential. Let me explain it like this. I tried using this illustration earlier and I keep getting confused when I use it. So if it doesn't work, don't worry. But it's like a DVD player. Does everyone know what a DVD player is? Anybody need help understanding what a DVD player is? It's what we now use instead of video players. You no longer put a videotape in the front, you put a CD in the front, and the film comes up on it. A DVD player. If you know that, then you're off to a good start. But you also get something called MP3s. Anyone know what an MP3 is? Anybody over the age of 30 know what an MP3 is? Good. An MP3 is a sound recording. It's musical. Well, somebody came to me recently and said, I've got this MP3 I want you to listen to. I think it would be good for you to hear it. I'll put it on a disc and give it to you. And I said, but that will be no use to me because I haven't got a CD player that plays MP3s. I don't have the potential to listen to the MP3 recording. But then they said to me, have you got a DVD player? And I said, well, yes, everybody over 25 has got a DVD. Everybody under 85 has got a DVD. No, most people have got DVD players. So yes, I've got a DVD player, but you're talking about an MP3. And they said, ah, but your DVD player will pay MP3s. Now, did you know that? Well, there you go. That's useful. There's something useful you've learned. You can get an MP3 of this sermon on disc and put it in your DVD player and it'll play like that. But what he was saying to me, you've got a machine and you know how to use it for playing pictures in the television, but it also has the potential to do something with it you've never done before and you don't know about, but it's there, it works. And they were right, and the MP3 disc plays in the DVD player. That's what Paul's saying here. You've got a potential that you know about, a potential of faith for your prayers and speech, for your Bible teaching and knowledge, for your Bible studies and eagerness to help, for your fellowship and love for me. But along with that, there's more that you can do that you don't yet know about because you haven't done it before. But it's there because it's part and parcel of being not a DVD player, but a Christian. And that extra is the ability to give. Remember what we said at the start? It was God's grace that made the Macedonian Christians able to give. It wasn't something they could do for themselves. It was something extra they could do because they were Christians, because God gave them the power. And Paul is saying, I know that you are Christians, and I think we know in part at Trinity that we are Christians. We're always singing songs and reading the Bible and going to Bible studies and having fellowship together and eating and drinking and serving bread and wine. So we're Christians, and that means we have the potential to give in ways that we maybe haven't done before and haven't discovered yet, but it's there because it comes from God. And so we want you to be generous also in this service of love. Then Paul goes on to say, I'm not laying down any rules, but showing you how eager others are to help. And I'm trying to find out how real your own love is. And then he comes up with the last reason for giving, and that is God's gift to us. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he made himself poor for our sake, in order to make you rich by means of his poverty. Christians are all receivers before we become givers. We're receivers of God's love in Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, if you have received that forgiveness of sins and promise of eternal life and all the other blessings that go with being a Christian, then surely that's an example to you of the kind of giving that should be a part of your life. Most of the time when we give to charity, when rich people give to charity, they do it in such a way that they remain rich, don't we? We give something out of our extra, something that we can spare, so that we can remain rich, but poor people can have something more. But Paul says, Jesus made himself poor for our sake. He didn't just stay up in heaven and send down a food package or even a forgiveness package. He came down, he made himself poor. He found a way of giving so that the rich giver became poor. And the other thing about our giving is that usually we manage to give to poor people in such a way that they stay poor. We find or hear about them when they're starving, when they're at death's door, and we give them enough to help them get by, but then after that we forget about them and move on to other things. But Jesus' giving made us rich by means of his poverty. Jesus doesn't sustain us on the breadline or keep us in poverty, but makes us rich by coming down to give himself to us. And so Paul goes on to say, my opinion is that it's better for you to finish now what you began last year. You were the first not only to act, but also to be willing to act. On with it then and finish the job. Be as eager to finish it as you were to plan it, and do it with what you now have. If you're eager to give, God will accept your gift on the basis of what you have to give, not on what you haven't. I'm not trying to relieve others by putting a burden on you, but since you have plenty at this time, it's only fair that you should help those who are in need. And then when you are in need and they have plenty, they will help you. And in this way, both are treated equally. As the scripture says, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. I pray that God would bless his word to us and help it to motivate our actions.